So we're going to talk about prayer today. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. It says there, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Lord, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you so much for a reminder of prayer and how we need to constantly be in touch with you, Lord, talking and listening. Thank you so much that thus far you have just been drawing us closer to you, Lord, and showing us who you are, your face, your power, even your presence, oh God. And as Paul was writing this, was in prison, but is also asking for prayer that he would be effective. I want to pray that each one of us would be effective in every area that you've called us to serve, Lord, in every work that you've called us to perform, in every place that you place us. So I ask that again, Lord, your power may be visible, and Lord, we may experience your transforming work through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So prayer is what Paul is asking for. So two things. He's first of all encouraging the Colossian Christians to pray, to continue earnestly, eagerly, or strongly in prayer. And he also asks for prayer. Would you please pray for me, he says, that I will continue to preach the word, to make it very clear and simple, because that was his ministry as an apostle. When you talk about prayer, I grew up with, and maybe some of you have so many misconceptions, because your first interaction with prayer wasn't probably the most biblical. Where I grew up in church, it was more of the posture. And you have to be on your knees. So there is this part of the service, you have to kneel, and then you have to get up, and then you have to bow down, and you have to sit. And there are so many dictations on how we should pray. You have to have your eyes closed, right? You have to express some humility, even in posture, whether you're sitting, kneeling, standing, or even closing your eyes. Prayer was a place to go to, right? We only prayed at church. We went to church to pray, right? Even to this day, when you're coming to church, what are people saying? You're going to pray, right? It's more than just prayer why we come to church. Imagine Jonah prayed from a belly of a fish. How do you like that? Inside there, slimy as it may be, he was praying, you know. David prayed in a cave while Saul was pursuing him. Elijah was at a mountaintop and sometimes in valleys. The Jews face a wall. There's this wall in Jerusalem, if you go there, and that is kind of their prayer place. Traditionally. So traditionally we can attach prayer to a place. Like, okay, that place, prayer mountain, right? In our culture you have prayer mountains. We need to buy a mountain and do a Calvary prayer mountain or something like that. Sometimes we attach prayer to the length of time we spend in prayer. And I remember this guy who, you know, I'm sure he had a lot of time. And he would boast about how he prayed for 2 hours. And I'm like, wow. When somebody comes to you and like, man, I've just been in prayer for 2 hours. Doesn't that amaze you? Like, 2 hours of prayer. That must be a very godly man, right? We attach prayer to, okay, how long am I supposed to talk to God? And sometimes, what time? I need to schedule a time. Like, okay, 9 o'clock is time for prayer, right? And we can schedule a time, which is good. Even tones. Have you asked people to pray before? And they've totally become different. Like, you thought this guy is your friend and you know each other. And then when they start to pray, you're like, and you're like, oh, what did I do? What is he going to say? And you're almost frightened. You know, David prayed that God would make his enemies' path slippery and that he would shatter their teeth. How do you like that? Break their teeth, God. In fact, a young man recently came to me and was reading the Psalms, and I think he came through one of those, and he asked me, so the Bible condones violence. See, David was praying that God breaks his enemies, right? So he had, you know, put everything out of context. And what is the motive? We think that when we pray, we want to twist God's arm, right? Like, okay, I want to go this direction, and I'm not so sure I should go this direction. So I'm going to use prayer to get God get me that direction. And we've heard about people teaching that. Prayer means twist God's arm and get him to go your direction with you, something like that. What is our motive when we pray? Well, are we ready for the answer when we pray? Do we know that God may say yes, he may say wait, or he may say no? And we think that God never says no for some reason. And even when we know it's a no, we keep asking for the same thing, or at least continue the very same conversation. And it's a no. One pastor said that, you know, I feel a great sense of lack in my own life when it comes to prayer. Not so much, he says, in regard to, you know, on-the-spot prayer, spontaneous prayer, but in dedicated times of prayer. Just setting aside time to pray. You know how we live, right? You may set dedicated times of prayer, but every day is different. You say, okay, it's going to be 9 o'clock, and the next day, 9 o'clock, that means an emergency somewhere, a journey somewhere, or you forgot, or you got busy, caught up in something else. And somebody said that cover to cover, the Bible is filled with different people, male and female, young and old, in different historical contexts, in different cultural contexts, in different personal contexts, rich, poor, sick, afraid, heartbroken, joyful, defeated, victorious, even doubting, hopeful, so many circumstances, talking to God, so many people talking to God. In fact, we cannot exhaust prayer in just one message like this. But there's a question one lady asked. This is Corrie ten Boom. She asked, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is prayer a lifestyle that you keep living by? Or it is something that, oh, it's missing, it's broken, and I need something in there. Continue earnestly in prayer, Paul instructs. He says, be vigilant in thanksgiving. To continue earnestly is literally to keep strong in prayer. Let it be your strength, he says. And prayer is addressing God. And when we talk about, you know, the posture and the tones and, you know, all the other dynamics in prayer, do we actually have it in mind that we are talking to God? So imagine you have a child and he's having a conversation with you, right? And he comes to you pacing around. So we do this when you go off overnight, right? You kind of have to keep awake, right? So you keep pacing up and down. But even in that, do you know that you're talking to God himself? Sometimes it's kind of just rapping. Like we can't even make sense of what we're saying. But imagine somebody came to you rapping, right? You're like, what are you saying? Thankfully, God is able to make sense of all that, right? Sometimes we go to God and we say nothing. Like, God, I'm just going to say nothing. I can't even say anything. And Paul says, go in strength in prayer. Continue praying. And this has to be with persistence. It is a continuous relationship. It is not, okay, I've finished praying. And I'll pray again tomorrow, right? It is a continuous conversation. You may end your scheduled time of prayer, but your conversations with God continue. Remember the widow petitioning the unrighteous judge, but remember that we are actually talking to a righteous God. Consistency. It's like a marathon. Remember, it's a relationship. You never cease talking to the people that you closely relate with. You don't talk to them today and then you talk again 2 years from now. It is a continuous conversation with God. perseverance even. God will take us through long seasons or even short seasons of pain. And sometimes prayer, somebody said, is like wrestling down an untiring opponent. Like you wrestled yesterday and you wrestle today and you wrestle next week and you wrestle. Be persistent in prayer, he tells us. Be consistent. Persevere. Now it's interesting how that, because of our misconceptions about prayer, some people think of others prayerless and others are like, oh, that's a very prayerful person. This one, I'm not so sure. If our relationship with God is actually very personal, how then are we able to say, I don't know about that person, he's not prayerful. But this one, because I see them going, in fact, in some places, if you do not go to a place and spend the night in prayer, then you are a very prayerless Christian. Prayer is one thing, please ask. Ask God. He encourages that. In fact, he invites us to ask him. To ask him for our needs, to ask him for strength, to ask him for wisdom. Remember what Solomon asked for? Only wisdom. To ask him to guide us and to bless us and to strengthen us and to do everything that we know we cannot do on our own. And that's literally everything. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, have you heard about the prayer of Jabez? He said this, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested for. Quite a lot we can learn from that prayer. Oh God, that you may bless me. And that can mean anything from the physical to the spiritual. There's no particular, all right, God has blessed me with something or God has blessed me with that. But a life, a blessed life is a life completely given to him. He's not asking for anything so that he would use it for his selfish reasons. He's just aligning his desire to God. God, give me everything that you would like me to have and let me use them for your glory. And he said, Lord, would you please bless me? Would you please enlarge my territory? Would you please extend my influence? Would you please, increase my business? Open more opportunities for me? Open doors for me? And God says, please ask. In fact, somebody said that I would rather ask and then God says no than never ask at all. I would rather say, God, can you please give me this building? And he says no, rather than saying, God, I'm not so sure I'll talk to you about that. Please ask God. In fact, some in the Psalms are like, ask for the nations. One pastor said the most dangerous prayer you'll ever pray is, God, use me. He says, then he will really use you. Have you prayed that prayer? He will for sure do that. And like Jabez, he will extend your influence. He will empower you. That your hand would be with me. Is God going to say no to that prayer? God, may your hand be with me? Is he going to say, let me think about that? No. My hand is going to be with you. That would keep me from evil. That would keep me away from the evil one. Protect me, but also help me walk in your paths of righteousness. God is going to say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to protect you and I'm going to guide you that I may not cause pain, that I may not cause pain to anybody else, that I may not hurt anyone. What happened? God granted him what he requested for. Jabez, come on, come give a testimony, right? Praise the Lord, brothers. I asked God for A, B, C, and he said yes. In Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13, so I say to you, this is Jesus speaking to us. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. God says, please come ask. It's open. Ask for just about anything. If your motive is wrong, he's obviously going to say no. I'm not going to do that. If it is his will, he's going to say, yes, you can have that. In John chapter 14, verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask, and it is connected to glorifying the Father, why not grant it to you? In James, we discover that sometimes we ask, we don't have right because we don't ask right. Or at least when we ask for the wrong reason. But if we know deep in our hearts that we're asking something to honor God, and somebody said, this promise is given to those who are fully committed to Him. And whatever we ask Him, for the glory of His name, He's going to say yes. Even when He says wait, it will be okay with us. In Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 26, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, what happens? A great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Is that a powerful prayer or what? So again, one misconception about prayer is that, oh, I need a powerful prayer. Right? Like I need this kind of prayer that can cause an earthquake, that can bring down rain instantly, that can break Paul out of prison. Prayer is simply asking God. We leave the rest to Him. And because of all these misconceptions about prayer, people look for prayer from some place or from some person. Like the prayers of this person, they really work, right? The prayers of that person, I doubt. And people are spending monies to people who think have powerful prayers. And they're lining up hours because I'm waiting to see the man of God who has the powerful prayer, like this kind of prayer. Paul and Silas in prison, they were just praying, God, you know, we are stuck here in prison and you know we need to preach. But anyway, we're here anyway. We just want your help. We want your favor. Maybe tomorrow we are going to appear before the judges. Please give us wisdom. And all of a sudden, the ground began to shake. And I think the most recent concept of prayer that I have heard about is, in Dogon it's called a choto, right? Like literally a fireplace. You know how you do camping and then you make a fireplace? In some concepts around our Christian culture here is that, oh, we need that place where there is fire, right? Where we go out and we are full of fire. One pastor said this, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. And Paul says to them, continue earnestly in prayer. Be strong in prayer. It says, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. To be vigilant is to be alert or to be awake. Another misconception of prayer is such that we only ask. So we say we're going to pray. We're saying we're going to ask. Well, how about we are going to give thanks? Let's go up on a mountain, down a valley, in a cave, while we are in prison. And Paul says, remember, be watchful, be alert, be awake about being thankful during your prayers, during your conversations with the Lord. Well, it's normal for somebody to appreciate any other's act of kindness. Somebody gives a present, you're like, thank you. How do you like it if you give somebody a present and they kind of just walked away? You're like, hey, what happened? We teach our kids to appreciate just about anything when they're growing up. But think about your prayer life. You just go and knock on God's door and then you walk away, right? Like, God, and then God is opening the door to answer, like, you're gone. Like, where are you? It says, remember to be thankful in prayer. To say, God, thank you so much for just listening to me. And I know you're going to pay attention to this. Well, sometimes because of tiredness, what happens? Our body, our mind shuts. In fact, maybe you're like me, sometimes when I start to pray, it's just perfect time to sleep. That is when the mind is like, oh, by the way, remember you're tired? So my eyes are closing. A friend told me this story of them inviting a pastor regularly at their house when he was younger, in his father's house. So his parents would invite a pastor and they'd pray at home through the night. So they start very well, there's a cup of tea to keep them awake, and then the pastor dozes off. The pastor dozes off. So he's young, they're teenagers, you know, teenagers are energetic, so they are praying and they're like, and then the pastor, because of the sound of their prayers, and sometimes probably they'll just increase their voices to wake the pastor up, and the pastor would wake up like, oh, let's continue in prayer. I'm just thinking, come on, you guys, you've been sleeping for an hour, you know, what are you talking about? You're the least we want to hear that from. We've been praying for an hour, you've been sleeping. It's like, be awake in giving thanks. Don't forget to do that. And we thank God for what he's doing. We thank God for what he's yet to do. We thank God for what he has done. He's working every day. And we do well to say, thank you, Lord. The psalmist writes a lot about giving thanks. 136 verses 3, Psalm 136 verses 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. It says, oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. He literally, in many psalms like this one, he lists the reasons to give thanks to the Lord. For his mercy endures forever. For his love endures forever. For his everything endures forever. Psalm 147, verses 7 to 8. It says, sing to the Lord with what? With thanksgiving, sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. Lord, thank you so much for making grass grow on the mountains. How many of us pray like that? Story told of a man and his friend going to a restaurant. One was a Christian and one was not. And the Christian bowed down to give thanks for the food after they'd been served. And the other said, excuse me, sir, you have a headache or what's wrong? The Christian said, you know what, I'm just giving thanks to God for the meal. The other asked him, is there something wrong with your food? He's like, no. It's just giving thanks to God. The non-Christian said this, oh, you are one of those, are you? He said, well, I want you to know that I never give thanks. I earn my own money, buy my own sweat, and I don't have to give thanks to anyone, he said. The other said to him, yes, you are exactly like my dog. That's what he does. And it's very easy for us to think, this is something that I have achieved. This is my accomplishment. And we become just like God. Just like dogs, right? You put food before them, what happens? They just eat. Senseless, right? But we are sensible beings. We are spiritually aware beings. We know God controls everything and has given us everything to enjoy. And we do well to say, thank you, Lord. I read the story of the Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S. that was started as far as the 1800s. And this is a national holiday. Everybody stay home, give thanks. It was after a harvest, a bountiful harvest, after the Civil War. And you can imagine the whole country goes to rest. I'm told that every public holiday in this country, for example, costs or at least cuts the URA income by close to $30 billion. So every day, that is a public holiday, and it's a Monday to Friday, it's a weekday, costs the URA $30 billion. Like, nobody's working, like, nobody's transacting. But for them, they said, you know what, whatever the cost, let's just stay home and give thanks. How about that? Well, how about our public holidays? We have Heroes Day. Let's thank our heroes, right? Give thanks in prayer. And we already saw some of this earlier on in this book. Whatever you do, in verse 17, chapter 3, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. Give thanks to God in prayer. Give thanks to God through work, in singing, through every season, the painful and the joyful ones. Remember, Paul is writing from prison. You have ever been to prison, have you? Maybe you have not. At least you have visited somebody in prison. I guarantee there's nothing to be thankful about in prison. It's misery, it's confinement, it's painful. And there he is, in pain, in solitary confinement, in a stinky, small, dark jail. Thousands of years ago, he says, you guys need to learn to give thanks. Now imagine you are receiving a thanksgiving lesson from somebody who has very few reasons to be thankful. Very few. Christians, let's be thankful. Lastly, he asked for prayer, which we call intercession. He says, pray for me also, that God would open a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, the gospel, how Christ was for a season hidden and then now he is visible. It says, for which I am also in chains. So he's in chains, he's in prison simply because he was a preacher of the gospel. It says that I may make it manifest. He says that I may make it clear, that I may make it understandable. So you know the make manifest guys, right? He's not talking about those ones, right? He just says, I want to make the gospel very clear. Even in prison, I want to be able to preach a very simple and clear gospel as I ought to speak. If you have interacted or listened to a vast number of preachers, and there are those that will make everything complicated in the Bible very simple. You'll read a passage and you're like, what is this? I can't seem to get anything. And, you know, somebody is able to make it so simple for you to understand. Like, what? It was actually very simple. He broke it down to help me understand. And then there are those that you listen to and you're thinking, what am I listening to? Like, they're using every complicated, intimidating word in almost every sentence. And you literally have to have a dictionary, right? Not even a dictionary, a Bible dictionary. Like, what did he say? Manifestation. You're like, oh, what is manifestation? Oh, to make clear. What did he say? And you're like, okay. Was Jesus complicated? Did anybody struggle with understanding Jesus? Hardly. Not even children. And that's the goal of teaching the word. And that's the goal of preaching the gospel. I watch a lot of Billy Graham classics, and he takes a very familiar verse or chapter or topic, and he teaches through it, and he uses it to call people to the Lord, and thousands get saved. And nobody walks out thinking, that was a very extremely complicated message. How do I even get saved? Everybody's able to understand, obviously, as the Spirit works and breaks into people's hearts. And Paul says, I just want to make it simple and understandable for just about everyone. Now, this was a studied guy. This was a theologian. He's a Pharisee. He spent years studying the Old Testament. But look at what he writes. Tell me any part of the New Testament written by Paul, inspired by God, obviously, that you do not understand. In fact, somebody said that the struggle is not because we do not understand, the Bible. The struggle is because we understand it, but we don't want to obey. And then we avoid it. Christians, you should ask what Paul is asking for. God, help me to just make the gospel message clear to anyone. Or the word of God, when I'm teaching, to make it clear to anyone. So he's asking for prayer. And it's a good thing to ask for prayer. Would you please pray for me, he says. His work is being an apostle and a preacher and a tent maker. But as in prison, he's limited. He wants to be effective wherever he was. Interestingly, if God had not allowed Paul to be in prison many times, we probably would have very few of his books. Maybe God would have used other people. Because he was in prison, he had the time. I think if I'd been just around and about, he would not have had time to sit and say, all right, let me write to the Colossians. I can't go there. Let me write to the Corinthians. I may not be able to go there. And sometimes God will allow us time, circumstantially, to be alone, not only to minister to us, but to also minister to others. Do you sometimes feel alone? If we pay close attention to God, he does so much ministry to our hearts, and he uses those times to build us so that we can minister to others. Again, Paul is asking for something that God is obviously going to say yes to. God, I just want to be an effective employee. God is going to say, yes, I'll help you do that. God, I want to be a better teacher. Obviously, I'm going to do that. Easy. God, I want to be a stronger believer. I want to be a solid Christian. I want to be firm. And that was his line of thought. What is yours? Maybe you're a businessman. You're a farmer. You're a doctor. John is a missionary. Think about what you do and what prayers are you asking for. Maybe you're asking God to protect you through a journey. God to give you wisdom for a new investment strategy. God to give you open doors for more businesses, for more clients, for more opportunities. And Paul is asking for that in his line of thinking. And we should be asking for prayer in our line of work, anything we do. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, he went a little farther, Jesus here, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Prayer is committing this thing to God. God, I want an opportunity to grow my business, to grow my influence, to grow everything. Like Jabez prayed, would you please bless me? And God, your will be done. Give me opportunities and help me accomplish that within your will. It's very easy for us to pray and God says yes, but we know that we're going to use whatever it is for our glory. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, exhort, first of all, that supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving thanks, talked about that, be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Just pray. It's an excellent use of our lips, talking to God. He says, for all men. Maybe you have some people thinking about it and like, I'm not going to pray for that person. The Bible says, pray for all men, for kings, for leaders, for those in authority. Would you please pray for me and other leaders across any leadership spectrum? Pray for our young people. Break free night, right? Pray that people may break free. Pray, pray, pray. In fact, intercession is helping us to rid ourselves of our own selfishness. Like, God, bless me. Well, how about saying, God, bless others also? Or so and so. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And he says the effective, fervent, endless, persistent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I have lived to see so many results of prayer. So many, endless. There's a lady recently who came, and I hadn't seen her in a while, I think 2 years. You know, our nature of church, people come and go. John comes here for 7 years, he's gone, and some people just come, study, go, and we kind of have a constant cycle of a membership. And she came recently, and she said, "You remember you prayed for me? I could not remember, by the way." I was like, but I said, yes, I remember. And she said she had been waiting on God for a child in their marriage, I think for 5 or 7 years. She said, "We had twins, and that's all I came to do." And she, I don't know which, I even forget which town she lives in. And I'm like, I can't even remember her face, and I don't even remember praying for her, but she did. Can you imagine? And I'm sure you have lived to see God work wonders through prayers. And we will live to continue seeing God do much. The prayers of the righteous, says, avails much. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. This is why we pray, He says, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, He listens to us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If you know that God is listening, then you also know that God is going to answer. And you know, John says, that is our confidence. That is why we pray. We talk to God because we know He's listening and He's going to answer us. He's going to speak back to us. And the one thing that we need to learn as Christians, I think, is the art of listening to God. We do well talking, right? You know people who talk? You ask them to listen, it's a struggle, right? Could you please just listen? And they want to talk. But. You're like, come on, listen. Let me first say something. And I think we need to learn just how to sit and listen. Now, confidence that God listens is paying attention. Philippians chapter 4. I'm sure you have this verse memorized. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. It's very easy to be anxious. It's very easy to be worrisome. Very easy to be extremely concerned about the things that we have no control of. Easy. When you hear something chaotic, some emergency, your first response is not prayer and peace, right? What is our first response? It's panic. And quite often, my kids have to remind me, but what happened to prayer? And then I'm like, oh, the kids understand more prayer than I do. Like, why are you panicking? Can we please pray? And you're like, go away, you know. Well, and we pray. And when we walk out of prayer, I tell you what, don't you feel a difference? Even when you're still panicking, right? You panic and then you prayed, and then panic level goes down. You know that you've been talking to the Father and He has a solution for the problem. Have you had some funny prayers, especially from children? There's one little girl who asked, in her prayer, she was asking actually a question, that God, instead of allowing old people to die, why don't you just, well, instead of allowing old people to die and you have to make new babies, why don't you just keep everybody alive, you know? One say that, God, even when I'm not praying, I'm actually thinking about you. You know, when we pray, God calms us down, gives us assurance that He will take care of what it is. And that's a lesson that we have to learn every day. We walk away peaceful. We walk away resting. The panic goes down. The worry goes down. And the peace comes up. The peace that surpasses all understanding. People don't just get it, you are in peace. Billy Graham said this, that the Christian life is not a constant high. And by saying that, he's referring to, in the story, he's referring to You know, sometimes we go through tough seasons and we think it's because we are prayerless. You know, we attach suffering to just about any reason. Or because I'm prayerless, or because of this, or because of that, or because of this. It may be, it may not be. You're not sure. It says, the Christian life is not a constant high. It says, I have had many moments of deep discouragement. It says, I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh God, forgive me or help me. And it makes a difference. Let's close with this thought. William Barclay from England said this long time ago. When we pray, let's remember three things. The love of God that wants the best for us. The love of God that wants the best for us. The wisdom of God, secondly. The wisdom of God that knows what is best for us. He wants what is best and he knows what is best. And thirdly, the power of God that can accomplish it. He wants the best for us. He knows the best for us. And he has the power to do it. If we believe that God will do something, it will be very easy for us to pray. But if we know it may be too difficult for him, obviously we're not going to talk to him about it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege for us to come to you. And we know that, as we've had, it's a confidence that you know, you listen, and you have the power to answer us. You have the ability to. With you, all things are possible, Lord. Like Jabez prayed, Lord, we want to pray that you bless us. Lord, bless everybody here. Whatever that word blessing means to them. Bless your people out there. We want to pray that you extend our influence, Lord, in everything we do, Lord. Pray that it grows, whether it's business, whether it's school, whether it's a farm, whether it's construction, whatever it is that you can use for your glory, Lord. I pray that you extend it, that you grow it, that you multiply, that you add. I pray that you keep us away from evil. The evil one is after us, and we can easily follow the path of evil, Lord. Guide us in your righteous ways. We pray for opportunities out there. For the people who are looking for work, Lord, opportunities to work. Those who are looking for wisdom for the next course of their season, Lord, I pray that you grant them wisdom. For strength, for health, maybe there's somebody sick among us. Lord, may you heal. Somebody's pain, may you comfort. Somebody confused, oh God, may you give every necessary help. Somebody weak, Lord, may you give them strength. And may your will be done, Lord. May the glory be yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.